So here and now, I have all that I need. When we remember that, when we go into that quieter space and remembering we are supplied, we are supported, we feel more confident, more courageous to come out wherever we are. That's the title of my talk today. And the first thing that I want to bring to your attention is the line from Glinda the Good Witch in The Wizard of Oz, when she's Dorothy has just shown up in Oz, and the house has smashed the Wicked Witch. And Glinda the Good Witch comes down in her luminous bubble, and all the Munchkins who we have not met yet are hiding out because they're a little scared. There's something's happening. Something just shifted. Something swirled and twirled and put them into a new experience. And so they're a little hesitant, but she says, "No worries, come on out. Come on out. Here's this person, this human being, whatever we call her. She dropped in from a star. So come on, come on, come out wherever you are and take a look." What I find really interesting about this is that the Munchkins were just thrown into a new reality. And instead of coming out with guns blaring and, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God," they stood back and they watched and they waited. And their benevolent protector, Glinda the Good Witch, comes in and says, "It's okay. It's okay. I know it's okay. Basically, I got your back. Come on out, take a look." And what I love about this is that they were curious. They were not afraid, like the sky is falling, everything's going to pieces. Their paradigm shifted because there was something going on prior to that. They were living under the influence of the Wicked Witch of the West. And suddenly, she's gone. New paradigm, new experience, new reality. Not quite yet a new normal, but a new situation. And so they embraced that. If you remember the next, you know, after song and dance and a few other things going on, they hand Dorothy a key to the city because she has shifted their paradigm. That's not how we talk about it in the movie terms, but she shifted their paradigm. She broke up their old reality. And instead of running and hiding and screaming and, you know, all that kind of stuff, they got curious. Come out wherever you are is also about standing in who we are, finding out who we are. In the blurb for this talk, I talked about how many of us spend a lot of time and a lot of wondering, what is my purpose? What am I here to do? And in this shifting that we're going through right now, we have been thrown into a new reality, a new way of forced into being. Not forced into doing, forced into being. And we need to look at who we are first, not what we need to do first, who we need to be first. I get this a lot in people that I talk to, that I pray with, people that I have coached with. That is the number one question. I'm supposed to have a purpose, or I think I'm supposed to have a purpose. I hear that we all have a reason to be here. I don't know what mine is. How do I find it? And it becomes this next thing of doing and doing and doing and doing and discovering and what doing, rather than going into the place of being, going into the place of getting still and asking and listening. And moving into that place where we have to get quiet, and sometimes that's really uncomfortable if we're not used to it. If we're not in the practice of being still and listening to the still small voice and listening for guidance, it can be disconcerting. And in this new paradigm that we're in, we've had a lot of opportunity to be quiet, to to listen, to be still. All appearances on the outside is this swirling, 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 but we know in this practice in particular, in the new thought movement, we need a new thought about how we approach things. So I have some tools for you today. Number one, the willingness to explore. We have to have the willingness to explore, to use that curiosity to go inside and figure out who we are. Because we have been guided and formed and shaped by our experience throughout our lives from the time we're little until wherever we are in our chronological ages now. And taking that step inward to see can be daunting, but it is the first step. We want that big billboard put in our front yard. The Spirit saying, okay, here you are. This is for you to do. Go do it now. And what's really interesting is that we ask for that, and when we get it, we turn around and say, no, that's not for me. That's not the way I saw it. That's not what I wanted to do. And we ignore the guidance. We ignore the message from our benevolent protector. The one that says, I got your back. Just be patient. Take the next step. Come out from under. Come out wherever you are. Come out from under that little bush you're hiding, the wall, the house, whatever it is you're hiding behind. Just come and take a look. A little bit of curiosity. Getting quiet, getting still, asking, be willing. Be willing to hear the answer. Be willing to embrace the answer. And we go, ah, that might be a little bit too much, of a baby step. And so it feels a little too big at first. So the next step is, make a list of your core values. How many of you have actually sat down after a meditation, or better yet, before a meditation, and say, I'm going to go inward, and what do I believe? What do I really believe? How do I live my life? Where do I live my life from? And if you're not sure what your core values are, if you're not sure what a core value is, it's things like honesty, integrity, kindness, compassion, living a life of gratitude, practicing a smile, bringing joy into other people's lives, bringing joy into our own lives. So you can start there. Baby steps. And when you get past that, when you get to the, okay, these are my core values, get really clear on it. This does take some time to do. This isn't a, oh, I'm going to tick off the list. Again, this is a being exercise, not a doing exercise. Being first. Listening to the being, writing down is the next doing, but it's not, that's not the focus. It's not, let's get through the list and tick it off and go, okay, there we go, I'm done. It's listening to the guidance. And when you've gotten that and you've practiced that and you live into that, you start living into those values consciously. You can look for people that are in your same spiritual practice as we do in our community. We find each other. We find the resonance of people who are looking for something beyond. If we go back to talking about Dorothy, she ended up in Oz. You know, the story goes from getting bumped on the head in the tornado, but she was discontent where she was. She wanted to see something over the rainbow. She wanted to get out of her, this is the way things always have been. She wanted to get out of that particular paradigm and move into a new one. She was willing to make a change. Was she expecting to go flying up in a house and landing in Oz? Probably not. But that willingness moves us, it moves all the energy in that direction of opening doors and opening to the guidance and opening to the next steps. So once we have what we know are our core values and we have begun to reach out, we find people that also are striving to grow and move out of old paradigms that don't work anymore, to shift away from the status quo. We find maybe a different level of support. Maybe a dedicated prayer partner, a mentor, a coach, somebody who's going to not go into the ain't it awful situation with you, but somebody who's going to show you, hold up that mirror to you, your good stuff, your beautiful stuff, and say, yeah, I know you want to do better, so let's see if we can do better. It's not about somebody to berate you and criticize you, and of course not. It's somebody who is going to be with you, creating a safe container for you to grow. And you get to do the same for them. One of the most vital places for creating a safe space in your life and being able to move through those emotions and through those questions and through the fears and through the doubts and go towards the desire that you're feeling to change the paradigm. Here's another practice, basic practice, is journaling. I have kept a journal since I was 14 years old. And for about the first 30 years of journaling, that was my safe space. It was my safe space to write emotions, to get all the stuff that was out of my, get it out of my head and get it out of the energy of, and get it out of my body. It was a safe place for me to have arguments that I knew I didn't want to have in person, but I needed to work things out. I needed to work out the parts of relationships that I didn't have role models for growing up. I needed to learn by observing, and I would write my observations. Oh, well, this is what I'm learning about what a healthy relationship looks like. Or I'm really clear that I don't want any more of that, and really there's some stuff that I really don't want in my life. I don't need that experience. I've already had it. The beauty of journaling is it's yours. Nobody's going to see it unless you want them to. Nobody's there to judge what you're thinking or feeling or saying. That's the safe container, the safest place you can go. And then you can build out from there with your prayer partner, your practitioner, to a coach, to a mentor, to somebody who's going to see you, honor your growth, hold you to it, be a soft place for you to land in the meantime when you have those days, but is not going to let you fall back, is not going to let you slip back into that place of, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I don't deserve this. So those are kind of some levels of tools. How does that get us to our purpose? You're still wondering, well, what am I here to do? The first place to look is those places where you find joy. What do you gravitate to that makes you happy? What are the hobbies that you have? What are some things that you know, that just, the things that time, when you're doing them, you're involved in them, time disappears. And I want you to understand, looking for your purpose does not mean that your purpose is necessarily going to be what you do for a living. It's important to understand that. It's ideal. That's gravy. That's gravy when that happens. But your purpose is, really, is your beingness. And when you're living from the places of the attributes, the qualities of God, that's another place to start. What is my purpose? Well, let's start with love. I'm here to be love. Light, life, peace, power, beauty, joy. So that everything that you do, everything that you say, every action you take during the day, if it's based in light, life, love, peace, power, beauty, joy, your actions will follow. It will drive everything that you do. It gets you to your authentic God expression that you are. Notice none of that is about doing. It's about being. Very simple, simple words. Very challenging to practice, isn't it? But the strength and the courage that comes from living from those places is phenomenal. I can speak to that in my own personal experience of going, knowing, feeling different, feeling the whole time growing up, where I didn't fit in, I didn't belong. And getting to the point where, come out wherever you are, I came out. Came out gay. Always was. But until certain paradigms shifted in my life, I didn't have the awareness that that was what I was. A very small part of what I was, but it drove everything in my behavior. The hiding, the discomfort, the inability to articulate, not having role models, just simply observing relationships and going, well, that's not me. Well, that's not me. I don't feel that way. How come, why don't I feel that way? It was because I wasn't meant to. God expressing through me, as me, as Kit Holmes, as a gay woman, was where God wanted to show up. And it was not easy. And you've probably heard that too. You find a purpose, you find a calling, you find what it is you are here to be, and you start stepping out in it, and you get a whole lot of pushback sometimes. You get a whole lot of people that are uncomfortable because you are shifting, and they don't know how to do it. So they make you wrong, or they make you evil, or they make you bad, or they make you whatever it is in order to move their own discomfort out of the way. And what is vital to our authenticity and our expression is having the courage to say, okay, that's the way you feel about it, but from my side, inside of me, I'm getting used to the fact that I am a God being expressing in this way. I don't have to be anything else for you. I have to be for me. I have to come home to me. If we circle back to Dorothy in the end of The Wizard of Oz, we know that's exactly what she does. She's living in an extraordinary fantasy world where every need is met. Everybody seems to be pretty happy all the time. And still, there's that longing in her that says, this isn't my place. I don't belong here. I belong back in Kansas doing what I'm supposed to be doing there, and I am still discovering that. Her purpose in a small snapshot was, as I said, she shifted a paradigm. Was she conscious of it? No. But in that time frame, that was her purpose. And if you also notice that her purpose was love, she befriended everyone. She opened her heart and said, I'm willing to explore, I'm curious. So know the work, and most of you already know this, the work is not for sissies. But we do have a benevolent protector, a benevolent guide. And those billboards that we're looking for are given to us all the time. They are in the form of invitations. The invitations are always being offered for us to experience something new, to express something new, to explore something new, to expand on it, to articulate it, to embody it. There's a quote from Maya Angelou, and I reference this because starting this week, this coming week, Jill's class as she dives into Braving the Wilderness. Brené Brown, Maya Angelou was absolutely one of her heroes and teachers and mentors, as it turned out to be. She says, "I'm convinced that most people do not grow up. We find parking spaces and honor our credit cards. We marry and dare to have children and call that growing up. I think what we do mostly is grow old. We carry accumulation of years in our bodies and on our faces, but generally our real selves, the children inside, are still innocent and shy as magnolias. We may act sophisticated and worldly, but I believe we feel safest when we go inside ourselves and find home, a place where we belong, and maybe the only place we really do." The invitation is always being made to come home to ourselves. Your purpose most likely may not be something that changes the world in an instant, but it is something that changes the world one step at a time. That's the way all of us change the world, is one step at a time, accepting the invitation, leaning in when it feels uncomfortable or scary, putting our faith in that place in us that is divinely guiding us, that is divinely protecting us, and saying yes, and taking baby steps, but we have to take the steps. The results, the cumulative results, are extraordinary. I know when I stopped listening, when I started practicing not listening to what other people thought I should do or who I should be. And really, I leaned into me. It was uncomfortable. And it does irritate a lot of people. But I can say it's worth it. It is absolutely worth it to do it the way that you are guided to do it. And at times it can feel tremendously lonely. And at times it can also be the most joyous, affirming experience you can ever have. When you know you have stood firm in what you believe and in who you are, and you are operating with 100% authenticity from your core values, there is no feeling like that in the world. It is exquisite. It is blissful. And the accolades that may come with it may be very small. There might be one person in your life that recognizes the work you've done and acknowledges it. Or it may be millions of people. But those millions of people will not know you at your core. You will know you at your core. And that's what matters. That's the coming home. That is that safe place that has never been harmed, that has never been abandoned, that is loved unconditionally. You are the place where God shows up, my friends. Accept the invitation. Get curious about it. And when you feel scared or doubtful, go back to that safe place. Go back to a journal. Go back to your prayer partner, your practitioner, your coach, your mentor. But keep moving forward. I bless you all as we take this into meditation. Know that you are loved. So let's breathe that in. Breathe in knowing that we exist because God is working through us as us. Not working, playing in us. And it is our allowing, being in harmony with that playfulness of God that allows us to move easily through the appearance of chaos. We breathe into that space of knowing and trusting and affirming that there is that life energy, that love energy, that light, power, peace, beauty, joy. And we have access to it in every single moment. And what I know and I affirm for everyone listening today and beyond in the future, listening to this recording, I affirm, I know, I declare the opening, the willingness to explore, the willingness to be curious, the willingness for us all to know ourselves at depth. I know the courage, I affirm the courage in each of us to lean in, to release judgment about doing it right or not doing it right, because what I know is that in every moment it is right when we are following our core values. And I affirm this leaning into, this embracing, and this embodiment of knowing we have a benevolent protector, a benevolent guide. The universe is always in our favor if we believe that the universe is always in our favor. And I declare that. I affirm that for each of us now. And I continue to breathe into this truth of knowing that everyone does absolutely have a purpose in this time and space. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We have some part right now in shifting a paradigm. Many paradigms in ourselves and in our world. As humanity, we are a part of that shift. And I affirm the strength, the clarity that is being offered in every moment. Because I know that everyone here, right now, is a divine expression full of infinite possibility and potential. I affirm the safety of going within and releasing what does not work and embracing what does. And I feel the joy of knowing this shift is happening in so many places, not just within our community of Unity of Wimberley, not just within the New Thought community, but this is happening across the globe, across the universe right now. I am so grateful to know this shift. I am so grateful to know that so many people are willing and able to look at and invite in knowing purpose. And not only knowing it and inviting it in, but acting on it in service, helping others to do the same. So knowing this truth that there is nothing else happening right now but God, I raise my voice in gratitude. Raise my voice in gratitude for knowing that this is done. This is a done deal, people. When we say yes and we lean in and I affirm that yes, the law responds and the law says yes right along with us. And I know that this prayer, this treatment is answered and it is manifest to the highest and best. And so I simply release it, knowing that it is so. And we affirm by saying, and so it is.